You feel comfortable that we are well within the total estimate?
We are, you know, we have a $6.5 million budget, and we're just getting to that point, Dave, where we're going to start crunching the numbers. But, you know, we run this like a business. If we see $6.5 million, then that's a project number we're going to try to hit. And I think the bidding climate is more favorable now than perhaps it was a year and a half ago. And we saw that on the recent project that we bid at the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility, where building numbers are coming back down.
And one other thing about the design stuff. You mentioned about straightening out the little roadways coming in, the entrances.
Yes.
And stuff. I mean, I've always heard that, you know, sometimes these little turns and stuff are traffic calming type of situations. And now with these straightaways, people could have a tendency to go a little faster now in and out and around this thing. And if there are children and people have to cross that way, you know, cross there and stuff, is that going to be an issue possibly, where people are in a hurry to get in and get out of the place?
Most of these customers are beyond speed.
I would say no, given this particular environment.
Yeah.
I know during the summer a significant amount of people ride their bicycles.
Have you ever seen these retirees drive?
Yeah.
Good Lord. They fly.
I'm not so
they
sure fly. Libraries attract the most aggressive drivers. maybe they do. But
they come out of there after reading a newspaper with road rage. They're so upset. They start reading about those Democrats.
That's
my
right.
God.
Or their book is late. Or they're late returning their book.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Sue could be very vicious.
But anyway, I've always heard that little turns sometimes are ways to calm the traffic. And then now we're straightening them out. So I don't know what the trend is. But
I think this is such a short section.
Okay.
That's not a you know, when you're thinking about traffic calming, you're thinking about roads through neighborhoods that are long and winding. This is such a short section. I don't think
it take long to go fast. They race from stop sign to stop sign down there.
Mm-hmm. I have a question too. What about the operation while the construction's going on? Are we going to have problems?
That came. We actually had our team meeting yesterday, and
it's going to be
yesterday. The recommendation was that we should close the library for the duration of the construction. Prior to yesterday's discussion, it was our thought process that we would be working on the addition and keep the existing section of the library open. We are going to do a quick look around to see, well, okay, if we do decide to close it, well, what's the alternative? So we would have to look around and see if we could find a storefront that could be acquired for the construction period at a reasonable cost, or perhaps even donated. But you would have to make that decision based upon, okay, if we kept the library open while the contractor is working, so that means the contractor would not be able to work as quickly and he has other things to deal with. What's the cost benefit of, you know, what's the increase in the bid cost versus the cost of moving to a temporary location? And that's something we're going to have to look at pretty quick. And we talked about it for about a half an hour yesterday.
What would be the time frame of closing if the decision was to close? How long? I mean, give us an idea how long.
We're looking at the contract being approximately 1 year, so you would think that we would want to move, you know, within 30 days of the start of construction and probably stay 30 days beyond the end of construction. So you're looking probably 14 months. Now, you wouldn't have to do the whole library. In other words, you have 10,000 square feet of library. Obviously, you don't need
to. At a certain point, they might have to close. They may not have to close initially. They could go a little bit, you're thinking.
Well, we're thinking that that's the other problem. This darn site is so confined. You can see there's, you know, the wetlands line in the back, and it's wet. And so it's something we're going to evaluate, and we're going to have to determine the best course of action.
Because you're pretty much going to have to empty all the books out anyway, aren't you, Mike? I mean, if they're going to remodel the old side versus then add on, I mean, you almost
right.
have to strip down anyway.
It seems to me the possibility of closing seems like a good possibility.
It might
make sense. I mean, even though we don't want to see it close up, but I mean, it may just have to.
Construction-wise, it's got to make sense.
A couple of the libraries that we're currently working on for them to shut down and relocate.
Relocate.
And relocate.
For the whole year.
We've done that for Woodlawn Library.
See if we can mooch another bookmobile.
The Hocus Library that's currently under construction in Hocus.
Is the Laurel Library, are they relocating, Phil?
You Seaford Library?
Seaford Library, I'm sorry.
Well,
Laurel.
That's a totally new site.
It's a new site, so they wouldn't have to.
Laurel did move.
Laurel Library did relocate.
Laurel did relocate.
They did relocate.
Came back.
Got another bookmobile laying around, Mike?
That's what I was wondering. I said, we can get that bookmobile and park it down there.
We have been carrying cost in that budget for what we call, you know, potential move, temporary relocation. So we already have started figuring that into that $6.5 million. So there is a slot for it already.
I got one other question. Stormwater, you're adding all this parking. I know it's an issue because the site.
If you're interested, I'll quickly touch on it. It's going to be something very interesting, which I could show you. We have met with Soil Conservation District, and you're right. We have an awful site to deal with. The water table is just a few feet below grade, so there is no underground storage possible. Here's what we came up with. In order to make the calculations work, we're trying to capture all the roof rain, all the roof runoff, okay? So on this flat structure here and over here, we're pitching to the back. So the rainwater will pitch to the back. There is a continuous gutter that will run along, one gutter run along the back, one large gutter running along the back. It will take the water and have a spillway. Okay, see if you can see.
Don't make
this.
Waterfalls?
This is, yes, yes. But it's going to come down chains, okay, because you have to let the water filter in slowly.
Right.
So the water will run down this gutter. If you cannot see these, but there's a series of lines here, and they're chains. The rain will run down the chain into a raised bioretention pond, okay? We can't go low. So basically, the 36 inches that we would go below grade, we're doing that 36 inches above grade,
right.
And that creates essentially this sort of lance, this retaining wall. This retaining wall right here retains a bio-retention mix of soil immediately beyond, which all the rainwater will filter. Now, as of yesterday, we found out that we were still coming up short, so we're going to capture the existing roof rainwater and do the same type of water retention up here in the front, which is good because this is kind of a mess up here, and we need to put some sidewalk up here. So we're going to take, it's only 150 square feet of what we'll need over here, but there'll be another architectural element here that will do the same thing.
That's pretty cool.
So you are really going to have a building that you could hang your hat on in terms of sustainable or green technology. That didn't happen. We didn't plan it that way, but as a result of what we need to do now, we'll have that. And I think that's going to be a really nice feature that you would promote.
Is there an overflow? I mean, we get a 4-inch rain, it's going to pretty much.
There is an overflow, but this basin is much more than what's needed. Okay, architecturally, we're making it a certain size so it matches the composition and the orientation of the building. Its actual calculations, you really only need about half of it. So by default, we have twice as much. But there are overflow scuppers. Let me just see.
Even if you're talking a 4-inch rain, it impacts that area, not just the library. The whole town struggles with stormwater.
Everything's
going to
be
on the heavy
rain if it comes straight. So it doesn't make a difference.
I guess here you start to see a section through that. This is the area where the chains would be. The water would come down the chains across this sort of step feature and then filter into this bioretention mix. And
so
you see
words,
that we're not much below grade.
And then that would perk into the groundwater?
Yes. And there's a special mix in there.
Just slow, it makes it go slow.
Slower.
It
makes it go slow.
Is this taking the place of a stormwater management pond?
Right.
Yes, this
yeah.
is our stormwater management.
It is your stormwater management. It
doesn't have to be a pond.
Right. We just have to manage the stormwater.
It's,
and we have to
manage
the
runoff and the quality.
So we're managing it in here.
How about the runoff from the parking lot? Where does
that, that we're able to handle in the existing swale that's already back there. That's why we need to capture all the roof.
So we're not increasing what's already there.
Gotcha. I put an extra parking spot, so you're retaining the building now. Now there's a trade-off. Okay, that's cool. That's impressive.
Okay, Mary Lou?
Now it's your turn.
Okay, well, I'm Mary Lou Teets, and I was employed by Fossil as their director of development for this campaign. Right now, I can tell you we are at $1,050,000. 5,000 and probably more than that, but I have not received some pledges that I'm hoping to receive within the next few weeks. We immediately started with enticing two well-known people to be our honorary co-chairs, and that was Representative Gerald Hawker and State Senator George Bunning. They have been more than just honorary chairs. They have been actively involved in this process and attend meetings regularly and have helped us to reach out to some leaders within the community. We have an advisory board made up of some well-known names. I believe Mike and Mike Cummings is on it, and Michael Wilgus and Tom Crowley, and I could go on and on, Vicky York and other people that we have picked from leaders within the community that we felt could not only support us financially, but help us to reach out to other leaders within the community for their help also. I should say that this library, one of the things we asked the engineering team to do was to really look at that meeting room space also, because there is very limited meeting room space in the area. And that space, as Sue can attest to, is used constantly by the community. This is just a well-appreciated library for a variety of reasons, for the educational programs that come out of it all the time. It is consistently used so that the fact that we're going to have to close it down for a while is probably not going to be real popular. One of the things that we can that I really think is very exciting is that we put out an appeal in December, and that was just to the general community, to taxpayers and so on. Our goal for the year from the appeal was $60,000, and that was to have a couple of appeals, and I think we're already almost at that level with just the one appeal being out there. And that means that $100, that $150, the $200 from people not only in this community but people that come from Maryland and from Virginia and so on, that have their homes down here and really appreciate having the library there. I think we had 2005, the patronage was 126,000 people visits to that library, so that if you go down there, you will see how active the community is in going there for meetings and to enjoy all the educational programming and so on that's there. We feel convinced of Fossil, the board, put up $500,000 toward our campaign at the very beginning, and we are convinced that we will be able to raise the rest of the dollars necessary to have a successful campaign.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
And that's our presentation. There's no formal decision that needs to be made by the council. We just kind of wanted to bring you up to speed on the direction that the project was going.
Any questions? More questions for Mike? No? Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Thank you. Additional business.
Jeez. Mike, sit here, man. I was going to bring up that septic thing and just see if there's something we could.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Sonny Bono. I live in Lincoln. 19937 Fleet Town Road, Lincoln, Delaware. I'm here again on an issue that is not dying. It's coming to a finalization. In fact, the headlines in the Milford Beacon state that the Lincoln residents are angry. I mean, they're buzzards. Because the final bypass workshop is held, and DelDOT said, well, you people got three roads that we're going to go through. Not one, but three. So again, the people in Lincoln are saying, what can we do? Okay? I've heard, go see your state representatives. I have. And they support us. Senator Simpson supports us, Senator Thurmond supports us, and Senator Kerry supports us. But again, a question arises, what has the county said? You have to go get their advice, okay? They want to know what the county is doing for the Lincoln residents who live in Sussex County.
I would tell you that I believe, at least I have, and I think at least one other member of council has talked to some of those state representatives, and there's a meeting today at 1 o'clock.
Yes, I know, I know.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, we have our committee up there also. I'm here today because I stopped by this morning to try to get on the agenda, and I talked to Mr. Baker and a letter that I gave Mr. Baker.
That's been distributed.
It has been distributed.
We all just got copies.
And the last, the simple thing, to give you an example, over 8 months ago, I said when I first came to the county council meetings that I want to learn from the council. And I said, one day I might have to ask you for something. Today I have to ask you for something. Not a grant money, no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to look at the, in the last page where it says, these are the people of Lincoln, therefore we suggest the following wording of the Sussex County resolution which we're trying to get the county to pass. We, the local elected representatives of the Sussex County Council, responsible for the government of the unincorporated town of Lincoln, established in 1865, are resolved to hope that DelDOT will not bulldozing an elevated 30 feet above the railroad tracks, US 113 Milford Bypass, through the middle of Lincoln homes, schools, and churches. But what a lot of people don't know is that three of our four churches, besides two the biggest Afro-American districts, are going to be very impacted. And again, you know, a simple support of the county is what the Lincoln residents are looking for, because they say the same thing. You've seen the state representatives. What does the county representatives say? So that's why I'm here now and asking for a simple little thing. And again, it's not money. Okay, it's for a resolution for the county's support for the residents of Lincoln, and I hope you will allow, you know, to be on the agenda today, or vote on it, or whatever you want to do. Or if you want, the committee can come back and we can have a presentation and discussion about it. But we feel it's a simple resolution, you know, with your county's guidance and support, and that's all the people of Lincoln want. So if you have any questions, I'll answer.
Rod?
No, I don't know what, you know, we've talked extensively about this. We've all been in contact with the reps and the senators. And really, when it comes to roads, we give our concerns to them. And, you know, early on, as Mr. Phillips alluded to 2 weeks ago, that we embraced the concept only when it was brought up in Dover for a Northwest Highway or North-South Highway. As far as resolutions, I don't know. The only thing we do in roads is after it's all gone through the public process, the legislature, it's all over, they come to us with an MOU at the end that we sign on board with them. But as far as creating resolutions, I don't know if we can, if that's even in the venue to do.
Typically, we have not done that.
It's never been done because we basically are not involved in the roads. We're involved with our constituency, and we pass the information from you back to them through our reps and through our senators and through people all through that appropriate the money for these roads. And that's normally the way that we're involved with DelDOT when it comes to do this. You know, the citizens of Lincoln are very angry over this and upset. And I can tell you that ones in Georgetown are even worse. I mean, there's more of them down here. And, you know, another plan came out the other week, and it's going to encompass a lot of agricultural land, and they're very upset also. So I think that DelDOT has a hard road to hoe to get funding from the legislature to consider it with all their constituents not wanting the road, knowing they're taking the least path of resistance to try to accomplish their goal. And with funding not being there, all they're trying to do now is acquire permission to acquire right-of-ways for the future, which the future with DelDOT, if we signed the deal today, probably 20 years before the road was ever got going. But as far as creating a resolution, I don't know if we can do that. We've never done that. We've only been involved in MOUs, and the process is, like I said, not to be repetitive, but to take your information, and we go right back to the reps, which I know these gentlemen have done that.
Well, years ago, Lynn, and Dale's not here today, but I think Dale and I were both here when they did the east-west bypass, or no, not bypass, but east-west corridor.
Right.
They wanted to purchase easements, and right. Boy, there was a big hullabaloo just like this over in that area, and people came to the council, and people who didn't even live near the 404 thing were complaining and this and that, and farmers were saying loss of farmland. Well, that was, God, it's almost been 20 years ago when that issue was on the table. So
longer than
that. I actually sat here and I, you know, I saw that, you know, the trend going a certain way, and I've sometimes say, I have to pick my battles, and I figured this wasn't a good one because it looked like there was so much opposition to it, and the council went opposed to it. And I had second thoughts, and I've had second thoughts ever since, because now I see in the Maryland side, they're creating a four-lane highway coming right to the Delaware border. And here we are again, left short. So we sat here, listened to the people, the farmers lost the farmland, and then since then, for the last 20 years, every farmer said, oh, don't mess with my land. I want to be able to sell it, you know, to sell development. But when it comes to using it for highway construction, that was all of a sudden they were concerned about their farmland. So I've had a different take. And I'd rather personally stay out of it because I'm from down in Ocean View, and the people down there actually probably want to see, you know, they like the highway system when you get up near Dover. I mean, for us that don't live in your area, it's a benefit. So, I mean, it's pulling at people in different ways, and I don't know to get this council to go and make a resolution on maybe something to say we support you. I don't even know what your group really supports because I haven't been following because it's an issue that's not on our table.
Answer is not telling the people of Lincoln we support you people in your quality of life.
Do you not want any road, or you want a different road, or?
Personally, I'd rather see no build. Okay, but again, we're here. I'm here today, begging.
And as roads become gridlock over the next 20 years,
when you go to New York or New Jersey and you hit the Jersey Turnpike and that traffic is bumper to bumper, do you have a special road to get to New York? Of course not. You sit in traffic. Okay.
So you're advocating traffic.
You got to say they do have when you get closer and closer to New York. All of a sudden, there's more lanes start popping up. I mean, there's so many. I've never seen so many lanes in my whole life. They have tried to accommodate it, and yes, you never seem to catch up with traffic.
But again, the key, what I'm trying to do here, simple to the. I mean,
I understand.
All due respect.
With all due respect to you, Mr. Bono, it might be possible that you're talking to the wrong public body.
No.
This council has no control over road building.
No. All we're asking. Is that the council say we support Lincoln residents who are part of Sussex County.
But
can I finish, please? That the road not be built through Lincoln, which will destroy it, destroy the churches, destroy people's quality of life, destroy people's homes. But again, if there is nothing from the council,
there's a public process for all of that.
You're passing it off. You're not supporting the people of Lincoln. Why not?
There's a public process for all those views to be considered, and it's not here.
I'll tell you again. As a group, we do not get involved with DelDOT. However, as individuals, we do represent you, and we do it through the channels of the government that. We may have a little bit more inroad with our senators and reps, and that's where we pressure them to say the people do not want this to happen. And that's the way we've handled DelDOT issues since I've been here and before I got here. And I remember the road deal that Mr. Cole's speaking of. That's been like 25 or 30 years ago now, Route 9.
I haven't been here that long.
Well, it's been a long time. But it started before you came here.
Nah.
But that's the way that we do that.
Okay, now, all due respect, I'm not a public speaker. I'm not a politician. I'm not running for public office. But Sussex County owes a responsibility to the citizens of Sussex County.
I can't support your position.
Why not?
Do nothing is a good thing for the future of Sussex County. I mean, I would vote no.
So you're saying you support DelDOT to come in and destroy people's lives, their homes, their investments?
That's not what you're asking.
Well, but you're not supporting the people.
You're saying that your position is that we.
You're passing the buck.
Your position is.
You're passing the buck.
No, Mr. Bowen,
seriously,
he's not passing the buck.
Okay.
The thing is, there's options on the table from DelDOT. It's not just one.
But by not saying to the people of Lincoln, we support your lives,
and that's
you're passing the buck.
Well, that's your contention.
Yeah, Mr. Baker, I think you did, if I'm not mistaken, he asked to be actually put on the agenda for next week for discussion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Could somebody bring in some small renderings of some of the proposals of DelDOT's? Because, again, I have, be honest with you.
There's more than one option up there.
Whatever the options are, I have not involved myself in it because, again, it's not on standard.
It involves Melford, the Lincoln area, and, of course, I'm attending.
You guys probably know about it. I don't. Right. Maybe I'm sure Vance and I are both in the dark about it.
Controversial down in Millsburg.
It's coming our way.
Yeah, it's going. It's working its way.
Millsburg.
But how can the road that you're going to take from Highway 1 that shifts over to 113, where they say it's the beach bypass? Where's the beach? You go down to Maryland, and you got to go 35 miles east to get to the beach. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all.
Well, they're trying to bypass it so that when they pick up 50 and those Snow Hill, those areas that they'll cut across to Ocean City, and they'll come back up through.
So what are we doing?
Answer your question. Okay, I'm on a lot of Del-Dot committees. I'm on a lot of Del-Dot committees, so I'm your voice there also. That 38% of the traffic that goes south of Five Points through the beach is transient, going to Ocean City and other destinations, not stopping in Delaware. And the idea of the north-south bypass was allow them to go west of that traffic and continue their journey without being in gridlock.
Right.
And we've discussed this for many years. I've been on all the Del-Dot committees in the Lewis area for the study of eastern Sussex County. And that's been a discussion. Mr. Cole's on that committee, and we've spent endless hours. And for the 10 years that I've been on the committees, the only thing that's been done is what's being done right now, the modification of wanting to get the third lane. And we've talked many hours about projects in the future, but they've gone nowhere.
Like I said before, I came here asking for one thing.
Okay.
For you people to support Lincoln and saying no.
I think you asked Mr. Baker to, and I think.
Yes.
Mr.
Okay.
Baker's put you on agenda.
Thank you for your time.
We'll try to get staff.
I would like to see DelDOT, whatever they approve, have the most minimal impact on this quality of life. But I think they do need to do something. I'm at the point where we've got to be looking 20 years down the road.
But you're taking over three quarters of the families of Lincoln said no. What about them?
And they did have three or four different options. I know.
Again, I don't even know what the options are.
Meeting in Milford about it.
I think if we can get some paperwork, maybe we. I don't know if we have staff has time enough to be able to do it and put it in the our packet so they actually can shrink it down. I know that that.
Carolyn Wicks down here next week. She's got time on her hands.
That's right. She doesn't have any money.
She's got no money. She's got done.
I already
came down here when we asked.
But get some renderings and give us an update on what's going on so we can all get on the same page kind of with Mr. Bono.
The people of Lincoln are asking for one simple little thing.
And I told you that we'll put you on the agenda next week, and you're going to be your best answer this week. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Everything's pretty simple in everybody's mind and their own purpose. I agree with you 100%.
I have to go back.
I understand.
Because I'm the mouthpiece for three committees.
I understand.
Okay. Now, I failed here to get a simple yes. We support you.
We didn't say.
We don't want to. I don't know what I'm supporting.
The people,
the quality of life is a pretty broad statement.
Supporting that the people of Lincoln's lives count, their quality of lives count, not to be destroyed.
Well, Mr. Bono, come back next week and we'll have a presentation. But however, don't say we're not supporting.
No, you just said
that.
I'm asking.
Got you on the agenda.
I'm asking because I'm not hearing it. But again, thank you.
If I insulted you, it's not
any additional other business.
You're here next week.
Okay.
You're making progress.
Thank you.
This is good.
Mr. Bono.
And you're much more civil than Mr. Kramer.
Can you know the spelling of your name, please?
V as in Victor, U-O-N-O. They call me Sonny Bono.
Oh,
not
Bono.
Sonny Bono.
I thought you were saying Bono.
Vino, Wino, Bono. If you get close, I guess it's
comfortable. I'm sorry.
Share with you.
Can you spell your last name one more time?
Yeah.
V-N-O?
Hey, Kramer.
V Victor.
Hey, guys, give her a card. That's easy for you.
It's Bono.
Very important for
you. See, we thought you were Sonny Bono. Share.
My name is Dan Kramer. First of all, it's very simple on what they want. They don't want to come through Lincoln. Go to the west. That was the most direct route. And if they went to the west, but I'm being told that because the Queen Bee up there says, no, we ain't coming to the west. Well, wait till the Queen Bee is no longer in office, and then we'll put it in the West anyhow.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Kramer, one of the routes that they just did in Georgetown, it wasn't very somewhat controversial, but now they shifted gears again. Now, Mr. Johnson, which has been sitting on the committee and now is being impacted.
Ain't of his farm.
Now they don't want
to say that we got a riot going on down on the other side of town.
Well, you know what?
I mean, so it's tough.
Like this here. If they'd had a half a brain, they'd all be dangerous. Because they didn't need these bypasses at all, with except the Milford, and put it on the west side. The rest of it, they could have run straight through the towns and everything, and wouldn't have had a problem. But they all want to take farmland. That's really not the reason I'm up here.
Well,
Why are you up here?
I'm up here because of FOIA complaint.
Oh, yeah.
You had a FOIA complaint and you guys lost. Why did you lose? Because you went into executive session illegally.
Wow.
On the authority of your attorney. And what I want to know, every time there's one filed, he gets paid.
He gets paid, he's here too.
He's the one that told you you could go into executive session.
We pay for good advice.
That was illegal. He should have known. So therefore, I suggest you dock his pay. Have a good one.
All right.
We'll get his legal advice on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of that other additional business, gentlemen?
Yes, Mr. Joe. Since Mr. Rizzo is still here, the issue of some of these, which has been concerning me about the Artesian and the Tidewater and other entities like that going into sanitary sewer districts that the county is proposing and maybe having an impact. And I read the statement of that last development we had where they were opposed to it and they wanted it to be hooked up to their system. So if he could just elaborate, is there a problem, is there not a problem, where the position is of the engineering department and where we should be looking to for concern. And anyway, if you could just, because I'm thinking long term, we've got problems generating here, and I don't know what Mike thinks.
Well, we haven't. There's three entities providing wastewater service in unincorporated Sussex County that comes before the county council. Obviously, we do Sussex County, and then there's Tidewater, and then there's Artesian. We've established our planning areas, and we brought those reports in. For example, you know, the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility has a particular planning area that we are going to serve. We laid our lines and sized them and, you know, have the infrastructure going in place. And where we've come into some points of contention are where they're applying for CPCNs in areas that we are planning to serve. And
CPCN?
Yeah, it's a certificate of public convenience and necessity. It's kind of like what they get for, it's the same thing they get for water, and it's expanded to wastewater. And after it started, we were a little bit of us stepping on each other's toes, and we started to meet regularly. And I think we have come to some agreement with Artesian where we meet on a quarterly basis and we compare and we try to figure out, okay, who's best to serve this area? Is it Sussex County? Is it Artesian? And we kind of been able to come to a, I'll call it a gentleman's agreement for lack of a better term. With Tidewater, we haven't been able to get that level of planning yet. So there are some areas where we are, in effect, stepping on each other's toes. I feel strongly that where we establish a planning area and we are able to provide wastewater service, we should be the purveyor of choice. And those are the comments that we continue to make. If it's an area that's outside a planning area, then more power to them.
Well, here's my observation, what I think is part of the problem, and you tell me where I'm wrong, sure. Or anybody can tell me where I'm wrong. But we've, like you said, carved out these planning areas.
Right.
And when you do that, and we've done a great, great job. We've been praised going around the inland bays and what we've been doing. And we've also been going towards the regional type of systems, which, again, has been praised because we get the wastewater away from these bodies of water and get it back to these areas, and,
right.
And we control it. So regional has been the method of choice. But when we go into these planned areas, Mike, my understanding is, I mean, you look at, like, an older established areas and then the potential for growth in the area and stuff. And when you start adding up, you need users, you need numbers to make things work. Otherwise, an older established area that needs sewer in the worst way will not be able to afford it because this new development, and we've heard so many times how the development, new development, will contribute this and contribute that, reduce costs, you know, bring in these things that will help make it all affordable for everybody. Anyway, by giving away big chunks to this guy, giving a chunk to this guy, it just leaves the older areas that aren't as well organized. How will they ever afford it? So we've been going in the right direction all these years, and the county council has been praised and on and on and on. And now all of a sudden this little wrinkle comes along, and again, we're so quick to accommodate the developer. You know, we're starting to approve these things, and we're going to have a long-term problem with this when we get to a point where we look up and say, okay, now this Herring Creek user, there's not enough users here. I mean, it's going to be so expensive. People say, "Well, we don't want it then." So we're going to be stopped, and then they're going to have to turn to the private entity, maybe. Sure, But they're not going to be as happy with the private entity long-term like they have been with the county. We have actually, I've criticized the county. We've been too cheap sometimes. We've been keeping the cost, and we had the ability to subsidize with county money, transfer tax. We've subsidized with state money. We've been able to subsidize with other things. So it's in their best interest and our best interest to continue what we've been doing. Why change now just because slick lawyers? I heard how we've been taken advantage by slick lawyers and how we sit here and just roll over. Are slick lawyers doing this to us? No, we're doing it to ourselves. So
I think
we ought to know better. So
I think there are, and I'm going to just add my 2 cents, and for what it's worth. And
it's worth 2 cents. Like,
yeah, 2 cents, Mike. That there are areas that are 8, 5, 8, 10 years out that are in our study area, or for at least probably 5 years out anyway. I might be 8, might be a little too far. That if we can work out an agreement to say when we went, that we'll look down at your plans, and if we go by, then somehow we need to figure out that we can hook, you know, pick these people up. Then I think that's not an issue, but
that's exactly right.
And I think there are opportunities.
I think that's the next step.
That's exactly right.
That's the next
step
of our division, because some of these areas are trouble areas, like the Herring Creek area and stuff, that need help, but we can't get there quick enough. And then maybe they can do it. And but we need to be able to say, okay, when we get there, you got to hook up.
We have to sort of change the way that we do business in some cases too. And I've mentioned this to Mr. Baker in the past. Our point of view is, okay, you need a 10-inch line for your development, but to serve the surrounding existing development, you have to put in an 18-inch line, and you have to pay for that line up front. So for the developer, that's an upfront cost that he has to pay. Whereas when he's working with the private utilities, they allow him to pay as connections come on.
Right.
You know, so what we have to do is become more innovative so that our impacts to the developers are more attractive, so they're getting a similar type of deal when they're working with us.
Well, I take issue with that. The only reason is we should be in the driver's seat. We are the county government. I don't know why we, Mike, have to accommodate when they go into one of our planning areas that we plan to service just because they're in a hurry. But I agree with you. Once they get to a point,
right,
and like in that letter from engineering, I think Rob Davis wrote a letter, says, you know, get a long-term contract. We're all for that. But then when the county's system is up and running, you need then to abandon that. Now the issue is when they abandon it, do we pay for it? How much do we pay? In the past, we've not paid for it.
That's correct.
We paid a dollar for it.
Oh, yeah, but the ones that we have salvaged.
Well, you know why?
Those should be salvaged a long time ago.
Wait a minute. But the reason is, guys, the developer was paying for that, putting that infrastructure in, and he turned it over. Now what he's doing is Tidewater paying to put the infrastructure. They're basically selling that part of the development to them. So now Tidewater installs it all and does it all. They're not ready to give it up. So, you know, they have found that they can sell this off to a developer. Outside a development district, outside of our proposed planning areas, you know, I think we've got to work with them. But
I think eventually we're going to the county.
You ought to do it. Wait, there's no eventually to it. We're faced with it today.
Central will be everywhere, whether it's by us, and we'll pick up, because Demarec has said now in the state planning office, what, 35 or 50 housing developments must have central system, which has created all this problem of the private sector coming in and sucking up all these areas. And go ahead, Mike.
I think there's two things that are a concern to us. I think when some of these folks wake up and realize they have a central treatment plant in their backyard, they will have some concerns and they will come to you. Also, the first time that rates go up, much like water rates go up, I do think they're going to come back to the council and say, we need you to fix this. So those are concerns I have down the road, especially some of the small developments that maybe have like 150 homes,
right,
and they have a central plant. And then, you know, there's got to be upgrades to the plant for one reason or another after the development is built out. And you have a small rate base to spread those costs.
I do understand. I've heard it before.
As I mentioned, it's a continuing thing. I think we've developed a workable relationship with Artesian. We're not there with Tidewater yet, although Mr. Baker and I are going to meet with them on Thursday. So hopefully they're, you know, if we can figure out a way to kind of work together, I think it will be to everybody's benefit.
I think the bottom line is, as George said, is that we have to make sure their system, when we go by, is going to be adaptable. And we're kind of, where do we get that financial part? Because they have an investment, and we're certainly going to have an investment.
Well, there's developments on the table right now.
Yep.
And we have the ability to deal with it. Is it something, do you think in the next couple of weeks you could come up with some kind of policy?
Well, it may be taken out of our hands, because right now there is a situation pending in front of the Public Service Commission on this North Milton project where it's the North Milton project where Artesian is applying for the CPCN. Tidewater is actually representing the town, and it's strange because they're arguing our argument against Artesian. And I don't know if Mr. Griffin is up to speed. I think he is.
I'm aware of that.
And I think there could a precedent could come out of that could dictate how we all operate.
What's the time frame on it? Does anybody know?
The precedent that's going to come out of that is not going to benefit the county. The only issue that will be involved in that proceeding is to litigate and decide the claims of the town of Milton. And the town of Milton's argument is not unlike the point you raised, Mr. Cole. Their point is that because the town of Milton included that area within their planning area, that it should be hands off from the private companies who want to now serve it. So all the decision in that case is going to do is to say whether or not the town of Milton's argument has any legs. It's not going to apply more broadly. Several years back, the legislature transferred sole authority for granting the CPCNs on water and sewer utilities to the Public Service Commission. So in the very early stages of a development, the developer goes to Tidewater or Artesian, unless we already have service there, and says, can you provide us with an ability to serve letter? What happens then is that the developer applies for a CPCN. They don't have to get the number of signatures that we have to do to form a district.
I know it.
But right now, state law, if state law said that the county staking it out in a planning area means that they have to stay out of there, we wouldn't be having these arguments. But because state law doesn't say that, the only option we would have would be to go to public service and file a challenge to every CPCN application for any area in which we hope or propose to provide service.
Question, though.
But that's a fairly big undertaking litigation expense.
Question is, we have one in front of us. We have conditions. It's a conditional use, I believe it is, right? Or RPC, I forget, but still conditions. We have the ability, though, to follow our recommendations of our engineering department and impose a condition on it, like Rob Davis said, that, you know, it would hook up and we could put in some wording in there. And if they agree to it, isn't that a condition that we can place on it? Is that maybe a way we can address it through our zoning process?
We also have
for them to put a treatment facility somewhere, and I've seen it, where is it, on Piney Neck or somewhere, guys, around Dagsboro?
Yeah,
right?
Piney Neck, that's one area we have some contention.
Developers are in a hurry. You know, again, county government moves slow, but here's another situation where it could upset and mess up things, but we have the ability through the zoning process.
But if one of those private companies already has a CPCN to serve that area, I don't think you're going to be accomplishing much.
We don't have, if we put in that, say, that they would have to then hook up to a county system, wouldn't trump the commission's, they're just giving them the right to operate a system, doesn't mean who's going to operate it long-term. They can buy and sell these systems.
That's where we are with Artesian. We're able to say, okay, we're set up to serve this area, and they say, okay, hands off, no problem.
Well,
but we kind of have some problems with Tidewater in that area. And the Public Service Commission, we had a series of conferences between the couple entities, and they said, well, why don't you guys go work it out yourselves and come back to us? And we've sort of been trying to do that since December, and we haven't quite got there yet. And then this thing with Milton popped up, which complicated it even more. So,
Mike,
you can see now the developer is given that whole financial burden of putting in the system and operating the system and running it long term.
Well, part
to those guys, and they've got an investment now. In the old days, the developer put it in and just hired them, you know, and stuff. And now it's a whole different ballgame.
In order to get that certificate from the Public Service Commission, they have to prove not only that they're being asked to serve by people in the area, but they have the ability to actually serve.
Yeah, but they have the ability to serve individual communities because they just can build a little
little plant, and we're going to be stuck with all these little things, and then we've seen where they want to actually add. So I think we got a problem. I don't know if Mike does, but if they can
pretty much down the road, if you want to take those over, you're going to have to pay some money for their investment.
Maybe we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't pay money.
Phase of the whole system.
But. Yeah, it's a growing thing. We do have a precedent, Mr. Griffin, that if we take it over but we don't use it, then we don't have to pay it. That kind of, we came upon that situation in West Rehoboth when we created the West Rehoboth Sewer District, and there were some small package plants. Now, we made use of their collection system, so they got a break on the rate for that. But as far as
paying them for what's valuable
and what we use. If we don't use the plant, then basically we don't have to pay it. Now, is that a good way of doing business? And that's kind of one of the things we've talked about with Artesian is, well, maybe there's a way that they can do a temporary plant and they could pick up the plant and move it somewhere else and make use of it.
Are they building them to our ordinance standards?
Well, we are requiring that the collection system, the pipelines in the ground, but as far as the treatment plants, they get permitted by DENREC. And I do look at the plans and I give them some comments, but yeah, we don't really have set standards yet.
Do you perceive that there's an effort on the part of the Tidewaters and the Artesians of the world to get in here early and preempt those areas, and so they can not only get the revenue from serving until we come along, but have something valuable to sell us?
Yeah, that's the indication.
I mean, of course. Interject.
Sort of a land grab.
This has been put on under additional business off the cuff.
Yeah.
I'll give Mike some time.
I don't mind. Maybe
we can workshop this sometime.
I actually, Mr. Jones and Mr. Phillips, I actually just brought it up because he was here.
Right.
I talked to him about it the other day. I would like to get it on the agenda, but it ended up we got talking more and more about it. I'd love to get it back on the agenda.
I think, Mike, if you can, and I know you got plenty to do, but I mean, see if you got anybody laying around, you know?
We would like to resolve this because it's everything. Every time one of these pops up, you've got to deal like it's a special case, and that takes more time and effort than if you had
it's a bitch session,
a policy or something in place that everybody knew the ground rules, then I think everybody's life.
Dave, you got any thoughts on how we ought to approach this issue from here on out? Do we want to do a workshop or bring him back on the agenda, or do you want to wait to see what your discussions with Tidewater?
I said, well, we are meeting with Tidewater about individual situations, but maybe if we could meet with the Public Service Commission again and try to coordinate, because, I mean, that was one of my questions. If Tidewater or Artesian come in our planning area and we send a letter objecting to the Public Service Commission, how do they, you know?
They're not sure what to do at this point.
They just ignore it or what?
They're not sure. That's why they said, well, why don't you guys go figure it out between yourselves and come back to us.
They'd like to hear from us. How we would like to approach it. David, you're right.
I think right now, Mike, if you write a letter, they're really sitting there just sitting in a hole pattern. They're not sure what the heck's going to go on. And I think, like I said, we nearly need to get everybody together and lock in a room and let the total dust settles.
Maybe we can come up with some thoughts of how that might.
I certainly think, and what Mr. Phillips
something out here
said,
way
if we have a workshop on in the next little bit, because it's certainly an issue that is going to be
current.
It's coming and it's going to get bigger.
Some afternoon when we don't have public hearings, we have lunch, got the West Complex. Artesian Public Service Commission.
I think we ought to talk it over first. We don't need them to interject.
You're not presenting enough information, Mr. Cole.
I'm sure there's legal crap and all the kind. There's a huge, it's a huge ball that we got to bounce.
It is. It's very significant.
Okay. And thank you, Mike.
No, it's an EDU.
Any other additional business? Jim?
I got a pack from Baseball Classic. I think Bernice Edwards.
That's exactly right. It's an easy, simple fix.
Any other additional business?
Nope. Thank you, Mr. Adjourn.
We moved and seconded. We adjourn. All favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Susan just said to me, Finley, it's our